thank you so much for the opportunity to get into the Word of God and discover you in our life. What a privilege. Lord, what a privilege to know you and to discover you in our life. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have so great of a salvation. I pray that every ear here today gets a revelation of that. What a great salvation that we have. What great joy and privilege to know you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And while we're saying, getting ready to go into that chapter, how many of you enjoyed it this morning for the first time? Your Sunday, did you enjoy it? Praise God. Again, react. Give some feedback. Ask questions. The teachers are there for your privilege. Praise God. To bless you. Encourage your children to be in the church service if they can. If not, we do have classes outside of the facility to help assist you. Hallelujah. Some children are not conditioned for a church service, but praise God, we want to encourage our kids to be with us as much as possible. Now, in John chapter 17, this is where Jesus does some praying. This is where Jesus prayed for the church that was to come. And we've been talking, we introduced the subject last week about the glory of God. The glory of God. And we are in a real transitional period now. And what I mean by transitional is that the church has gotten into the glory of men, and I believe we're going to come out of it. I believe that history is going to soon show us that we've been chasing the glory of men rather than the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the whole essence of me teaching you about the glory of God Sunday morning is that you get a real revelation of what took place between the Old Testament and New Testament. And sad to say, a lot of believers don't know how to live New Testament understanding, because they had been introduced to the Old Testament understanding to the point that the people who had led them there never brought them into the New Testament concept or understanding about Christianity today. And somebody might ask me, well, what do you mean by the glory of men? Well, let's understand something about the term glory again. Let's go into it in a little more in depth. But let's look at John chapter 17 first, and let's go to verse 14. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, what he's referring to here in verse 15 is the influence that evil brings. You see, there are a lot of believers that have come into the kingdom of God from this evil world. And Jesus is praying that they be preserved from the influence of this evil world. They are not of the world, verse 16, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world. Oh, notice this. This is great. Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And of course, the truth is the Word that was manifest and dwelt among us, which is Jesus Christ. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their Word. Glory to God. Now, who is he referring to there? You and I. You see, as the apostles set forth the ministry or the foundation of Jesus Christ and what salvation meant in them, he tells us in this verse, not only for them, but for also for us, which believe long after Christ had departed. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Now he goes on to say, that they all may be one as thou art, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now notice verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Oh, glory. Now notice this. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Notice this. That they may be one, even as we are one. What a statement. Now notice what he said about this glory. When I first read that, I couldn't comprehend what was being said. But it finally dawned on me, especially after I got the total understanding of what it means to be born again. What it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, I never understood what it meant to be born again until that revelation came alive in my heart, in my spirit. I remember the day it did. I remember the day it did. 5 or 6 years ago, I was listening to a cassette, and the way that it was brought out, pow! I mean, it came so, I ran right into John's office, I shared it with him, and he just about came unglued right there. I mean, it was the same impact. You see? Because before that, see, I was schooled in the fact that I had the Holy Ghost. And that's what made me different than an Old Testament saint, is I got God now living in me. But I didn't know it in the form of the new birth. I only saw it in the form of the Holy Ghost. You know, you're limited as to what the Holy Ghost can do in your life until you understand what it means to be born again. Because when you get the revelation of the new birth, that is the glory of God. Then the Holy Spirit has a greater effect on working on your inner man than it ever has before when you understand what it means to be born from above. See, the glory of God is not the Holy Ghost. The glory of God is the new birth. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring forth that glory in these clay pots. That's the object of the Holy Spirit. He is to transform you so that the glory of God shines out of these clay pots. Now, I want to share something with you. You can pretty well be in the company of believers, and the minute they open their mouth, you can tell whether or not they know about the glory of God. Just by the conversation that you can have with them. Some have the revelation, some don't. Some do, some don't. They know what it means to be born again, but they don't know what it means to be birthed as a result of the new birth. Being birthed. They don't understand what that means. Do you know that born again means that you came out of the womb of the Father? You have been birthed from the womb of the Father. That's what the new birth means. That's why it says old things pass away, behold, all things are become new. And a lot of Christians never started off with that understanding. They never started off with the concept that they have to start thinking as a little child to begin to rethink their whole life. That's why a lot of Christians become arrogant and misguided. Because they've never had the opportunity to start off as a little child. Now, let me explain this glory for a minute, okay? The glory that I'm referring to is different than the glory of the Old Testament. Did you know that according to Zahiotes, which I consider one of the finest minds on Hebrew and Greek there is, he said the predominant meaning of the Old Testament word for glory in Scripture is recognition. It means the appearance of a person or thing which catches the eye, attracts attention, or commands recognition. The Old Testament glory meant a splendor, a brilliance, an attracting the gaze. An attracting of the gaze. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, the writer who was talking about the wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of the cross or the power of the cross, he brought out, he said, the Jews require a sign. Well, literally what he was referring to is the Jew will believe in God, providing there is a glorious manifestation, a miraculous sign, or an appearance to gaze at. Because you see, to the Jew that was not born again, but they were Jews, they were of Judaism, or Judaizers, you see, they never understood the inner workings of God's heart. They only understood the brilliance, the splendor of God. That's why all them miracles and everything that God performed them and delivered them glorious had no effect on their heart, because they always did err in their heart when God was trying to lead them out of the land of bondage into the promised land of victory and abundance, you see. They always got into a situation a place where they always doubted God, they always questioned God. Well, it's because the reason they were in that state is nothing was being done in their heart concerning God. Right. About knowing Him as a person, knowing Him in His character. That was the glory that God was after in men. And He couldn't find that glory in the Jew, because the Jew, their splendor, their glory was God Himself. Are you following me? Well, I'll tell you what, the inhabitants of Canaan knew about that God. Because even though the nation of Israel didn't respect under that brilliance and that glory, I'll tell you what, the Canaanites, the inhabitants of Canaan respected it, because it said the hearts did tremble within them when they heard that God was going to come their way. They could care less about those little bitty Israelites. They could care less. They had their eye on the guy that parted the Red Sea. The one that parted the Red Sea. The one that delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. That's the God that they were a little concerned about.
Yep. Amen.
They were concerned the guy that was following these little guys. Why? Because there was a glory, there was a splendor that God brought to humanity that they didn't know how to respect. Why? Because they didn't have His heart. They didn't have His life. They didn't have His nature. Matter of fact, did you know that glory and splendor, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it said that in this respect that it had no glory in the fact of the glory that now exists. Wow. How many of you would like to go to a lake? Moses' lake. That's a good one we'll use. Moses' lake. And somebody says, some man says, open up! And Moses' lakes opens up. Do you know over in the Psalms, do you know that the writer said that all of nature or creation knows how to worship God? You know when the Red Sea parted, you know what in one of the Psalms said about that? It said that they hearken unto the nostrils of thee God in praise as the Red Sea parted. We look at it as an opportunity for the Israelites to go across dry ground and to drown Pharaoh's army. But we didn't really have any idea that nature itself in that parting was lifting their hands up in worship to the Creator that created the Red Sea. We don't look at nature having a nature, but Mother Nature lets us know that it has a nature. Amen? But nature itself is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's the second advent when we appear with Him. Because then it will be loose from its infirmity. And that's where the lion will lay down with the lamb instead of looking at a lamb chop. So what God had to do is He had to tarry with a stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart people. And He said, they do always err in their thoughts towards me. But, oh, beloved, I got news for you. The New Testament glory is different than the Old Testament glory in this respect. Zahiti said the New Testament predominates a meaning that is different. God's glory revealed itself in and through Jesus Christ. So therefore, the New Testament doxa embraces all which is excellent in, now listen to me, in the divine nature. It comprises all that God will manifest Himself to be. Are you ready? In us. In us. So the glory is different. The glory is not found in the departing of the Red Sea. The glory is not found in God coming against the gods that Egypt worshipped and brought a reproach to. The glory of God that is now manifested is found in you.
Right.
And that glory excels that which is natural over that which is spirit. Glory. Glory. What an understatement. Glory. John 17:10, Jesus said, I am glorified in them that are of the Father. I am glorified in them that are of the Father. 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in Him. Colossians 1:27, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of that glory. You know, I've been in services where they're trying to make revival happen. And I'm going to tell you, some of these services I've been in, I said, if this is the glory of God, I'm not interested. People acting weird. Some even like animals. Isn't that true? When you get out of the mind of God, you start acting like an animal. We had it happen in our church. Someone came in and tried to create revival and grabbed a fiddle and flipped across the stage. And all of a sudden there was a group over here. Rawr! Rawr! Someone went, the glory of God. It's the glory of flesh is what it is. I said, God, that must be a sign that I don't understand. You know, signs and wonders. That's a sign and that's a wonder. I have no idea about. And you know what? A lot of Christians that get in these kind of meetings, you know why they're there? Because they have a hunger in their heart to be something or reaching out for something that they already have and don't realize it. Mm-hmm. Or you wouldn't be entertaining that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, one of the Rhema pastors at one of our RMAI retreats brought this up, and there was a pastor and his wife there that allowed these kind of meetings. She got up and she came unglued on Glenn Johnson, snapped his head off. Because they don't allow the freedom of the Spirit. You know, Paul ran across the Corinthian bunch because in service, everyone got spiritual. And he said, don't you realize that people that are not normally of your body, when they come in and find you all acting real spiritual, when they come into your midst, don't you realize that what they're going to do is they're going to think you're crazy? They're going to think you're mad. Now, we've had moves of God in our church. But do you know God's here whether we have a movement or not? But I like a change once in a while. I like it when we flip out in the presence of God and the presence of God comes down. I like it when somebody will get up and run around the church, you know. But, you know, when we've had those kind of manifestations, did you know normally even those that come in that are normally not among us, they recognize something's there. Are you following me? But why a lot of churches are even getting away from a move of God in the service, the glory of God coming down, His presence in the service, is because there's a lot of things that are strange that turn people off. And the ones that are usually doing it are the ones that are whacked before God, not in their right mind. I had problems when we all started dancing before the Lord. I got excited about it. Until all of a sudden I saw somebody dancing before the Lord like a Gestapo goose step. Now I went, Lord, how do I know they mean right. I know they're doing well. Then all of a sudden I looked in the back one time and someone who was down doing break dancing, flipping around like one of them little things you get 4th of July, you light it and they go on the ground. And then I saw a couple over there kind of going like this that I hadn't seen before. And you sit there and go, I don't know how to deal with this, God. I said, surely if I go say something. And I didn't even know how to say something to him. One lady, bless her heart. I loved her whole heart, but she... And I'm sitting there. And it finally dawned on me that when somebody wants to worship God in freedom, liberty, we need to learn how to do it properly. You don't go to the devil's den. You know what they do? If you don't dance like they do, you're weird. How many of you, when you were young and went to dances, you found some people look beautiful when they dance, and some people that look so disjointed that if timing was ever a part of their life, it wasn't in dancing. So what do? We go to them, we say, hey, brother. Because I had someone come to me. Hey, brother, that dance went out, you know, with the twisters. Oh, really? Yeah, and the lady you're dancing with, she's embarrassed. Especially when you're on the dance floor. I've found my thrill in Blueberry Hill. And you're sitting there doing the twist. The music don't go with the body movement. Oh, the glory of God. I like to approach it this way. If we're going to have the presence of God in our midst, it's because we're worshiping Him in the spirit of what? In the spirit and in truth. You'll find someone who's of sound mind. They don't do things to bring embarrassment to anybody else. They're considerate of everybody else. And I was considerate how to dance before the Lord because when it was introduced back when we were in Rhema, remember that, Sue? They started introducing the dance methods. And so they started hiring choreographic singers to come into the church to do dance and all that. And I didn't know how to dance because I'm more of a reserved guy, but I wanted the freedom to dance. And I said, God, how do you look when you dance? And it brings glory to you. Well, then God began to show me how to do it by watching other people do it. And so I knew what looked good and what didn't. But there are some people that could care less what anybody thinks of them. When they're free, they're free. Their liberty will destroy whatever they can as long as they can do what they want to do. And that isn't God. I do believe that you have to develop the proper body language, the proper communication with God as well as your own mouth. When they tell me 55% of communication body language, what do you think God thinks when you sit there and fall on the ground and start breakdancing from worldly image? You think they got that thing going up in heaven? Breakdancing, I believe, came out of the mind of the devil. because it doesn't make no sense, but it draws attention to flesh. See, a lot of these people, they're lonely. A lot of people that have a tendency to, towards these kind of meetings, it's because in their own heart they're lonely. They don't know how to really have a personal relationship with God, a bonding with Him, so they're insecure within themselves. I'll tell you, when God came and gave us His glory, there's a security that gets into your heart no man can take. And you look right. You look right about things. Then there are some people that come in the service, you couldn't move them. If you took a poison dart and threw it at them, hoping that they'd have a reaction so the dart wouldn't hit them. And they'd sit there and you'd hit them. Yeah, they'd bullseye them suckers. Show them. Why? Because there's just no life in them. Those are the ones I like to team up with somebody who knows how to worship God. Shock them into some reality of what it means to let loose. So, what is the glory of God? Is it the presence of God coming down our midst? Is that first and foremost? Is it the glory of God that comes in our heart first, then manifests itself out? That's what it is. Turn over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And if I'm stepping on somebody's toes, that's okay. We all grow through grieving a little. And usually, a lot of times, how you conduct your meetings and your services, a lot of times, it'll draw the type of people that it feeds. If you constantly feed wacko stuff to somebody, you'll draw wacko people. Are you following me? But you have an order about you, a glory about you that has order, then you'll draw orderly people. And God is a God of order. In Exodus 33, this is a story about Moses. And maybe some of you read the story. Maybe not, because you're a biased word, you know. But it said that Moses built a tabernacle outside the people, the congregation of the people. He built a tabernacle outside, pitched it without the camp, afar off. And it said that that it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And anyway, the verses that go on, Moses was talking to the Lord, and he had some concern. And one of the concerns is that the people and himself would have found grace in his sight. And he had something on his heart. And what did he have on his heart when he was talking to the Lord? He said, "Now, as you show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people," verse 13. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee," this is the Lord, "and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." In other words, if your presence isn't there, because how many of you realize you better, if you're on a journey, how many would rather be on a journey with God than him not being there? Right. And he says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people," isn't this interesting, that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now what is he asking? Moses is asking God something. He's saying, God, he says, okay, you're going to lead us. You're going to take us somewhere. And I'm not going unless you're there. And if you ain't there, I ain't going. Now, are you ready? He says, basically, I want it known that you're with us so that all the people will know that you're there. Yep. Do you know what this is a type of? Do you know why Jesus poured His glory in you? Oh, for yourself. I hardly don't think so. The reason He poured His glory in you, according to the scriptures you read, is so that the world may know that you've been in the presence of God by how that glory reflects from your person. I've seen ministers, as far as I'm concerned, because they're all in their own glory. They don't glorify Jesus no more than the man in the moon. And they look so pretty and so white and so cleansed. But yet I know in their heart they're full of dead men's bones. The glory of God is not in them. It's in them. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Guess where He's going to be lifted up? It ain't going to sit there and doing witnessing that He's going to be lifted up. Doing witnessing is just a part of the gospel. But being a witness is what God's after for your life. He don't want you to say. He want you to do. Are you following me? There are a lot of Christians saying, but they're not doing. Why? They look weird. They act weird. They glory in a presence that God considers last rate, second rate, compared to the glory that He's invested in them in the new birth. Some people cling to titles as though it's going to be some glory that men are going to have respect to. And there's a certain amount of truth to that, but you got to be careful that your mind is not wrapped up in that glory compared to the glory that God poured into your heart above that glory. Such as, don't get mad at me, some of you. What are you? I'm Almighty Pastor. Oh yeah, I'm a pastor. I shepherd the flock of God. Flock of God. I lead them. What are you? I'm the top dog, man. I'm apostle. Apostle. As though we're, yeah, can't get much higher. Well, good for you, Mr. Apostle. Good for you, Mr. Pastor. But I'm a prophet. A prophet. Oh, yeah. When I speak, you better listen. You know what an apostle is? You know what a prophet is? You know what a pastor is? They're gifts given to the body of Christ because knowledge comes fragmentary. But as these offices lead you into the knowledge of God, guess what happens? You take your eye off the title and put your eye on the inward work God's put in your heart. Well, thank you, Mr. Apostle, but now I know. Because your ministry led me into the very person that Christ is in me, which I have inherited. Glory, thank you, Pastor Butler. You're a wonderful pastor because you led me into the person, face to face, what Jesus is. I can see in the mirror clearly now what that Spirit of Christ is in me. Thank you, my job's done. We're talking about this inward glory. And the sad part about it is you see kings and priests. And it grieves your heart. You see kings and priests not even knowing who they are in God. And you're the greatest thing that God ever birthed into this earth. Now we're going to stop here. But next Sunday, we're going to go a little bit more into this glory, and I'm going to show you some typologies out of this incident in Exodus chapter 33 and 34 here. I'm going to show you some instances, some types. And then we're going to go right over into the New Testament glory that is now manifested. And you, as a body of Christ, you are going to get a revelation of what it means to be transformed from glory to glory. Amen. The world's hungry for Jesus, and they don't even know it. And you're the one that has to go out there and create a thirst in them for Him. And you can do it. If you would just listen to what I have to say. Did you guys get here something here this morning?
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord, we want a move of God in our midst. But I know that only predicated on the stability of our hearts will you move. The more stable we become, the more your presence will come down and rain upon us. Not the more looser we become, but the more of truth that manifests in our heart. It's more conducive for your presence, and yet the church as a whole doesn't understand this. But Father, I thank you for the Word of God that you've transposed the Holy Spirit in my heart to give to your wonderful people so they can also be transformed into the same image that Jesus is, Father. So that we don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. So we don't look at what the church is calling revival with disgust, but with respect and honor and awe. We want the brilliance and the splendor that you were in the Old Testament into the New, but I know that it's glory meeting glory. We have to change. We have to become solid. We have to become balanced so that your presence will draw closer to us quicker in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you so much that within myself I know nothing. But because I spent my time with you, that anything that I possess didn't even originate with me. It's not even mine. It's yours. And Father, I want to see the church free. To be free to move into a glory that they now possess that many of them don't even know they have. It's Christ in them. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you can say, Pastor Jan, I've heard about Jesus. Oh, I've even gone to church to check it out. I've thought good thoughts. Oh, I've even done good works for the church. I even gave to the mission fund. But Pastor, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I haven't really come to know Jesus. Well, you know, you can't get saved by good works. You can't get saved by thinking good things. Jesus said a man must be born from above. Being born again is denounce the old life and come into the new. It means come to the kingdom of God just as you are. Even if your clothes smell like filthy rags, oh, I've got a Redeemer that knows how to wash and cleanse and make you whole again, new, so He can set you free in a world that is full of death. So if you want to come forward and receive salvation, we're going to make that opportunity available. And there are some of you here that can say, Pastor, I've been so out of fellowship with God. I've been so backslid. I haven't been consistent. I've been out of fellowship with the brethren. been out of fellowship with the church. I've been out of I've been where I don't belong, and I want to get back to where I belong, and that is the kingdom of God, and God having the preeminence in my life. I'm tired of running around with my flesh. Tired of the responsibility of the flesh. I want to get back into fellowship with you and take on the responsibility of your church, which is your kingdom. I want to restore my walk. And you might be a believer here today, and you're a king and a priest. You're children of the Most High God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And you might have an affliction, an ailment, a sickness in your body. And I got news for you. You can come forward and you can receive deliverance. It belongs to you. That is a part of your redemptive right, so you can live out the fullness of your walk with Him. You don't have to lose your life. You can take it. You can take the full benefits of walking in health. John and I met a pastor at that wonderful 9/11 thing that Cherie's mom put on. And there was a glow about this man. And he said, "Are you Pastor Jan?" He says, "Oh, Pastor Jan." He says, "Someone sent me your book, Flesh and Blood. Communion table." He says, "You know what I've been doing?" He says, "I had bone cancer in every, if I remember right, in every part of his body. He was racked with bone cancer." What was his name? Pastor Don. I can't remember his last name. I don't remember his first, Pastor Don. Because then that guy prayed. There was something different about that man's prayer. And he says, "I took communion and I took it every day. I took communion every day." He says, "I woke up one morning totally, completely healed."
Hallelujah.
"I know who you are, and I know who Dave Roberson is." That's what he said. But you could tell that guy had a personal encounter with God. He was a healed man, written off. Worst case of bone cancer. Matter of fact, he said it was the worst case of bone cancer the doctor said they ever seen. Woo-hoo. He was determined. No hope. But he was determined. Took communion every day till it manifested. Well, when you know what communion is all about, you'll do it. Today, if you need healing, we're going to make it available. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if I touched any area of your life, physical healing, salvation, restoration, I want you to step out right now, and I want you to come forward. We won't hold you much longer. Anybody, you feel free. You have a right to your redemptive rights. You have a right to it. And just step right up here. Those of you that want prayer, those of you that want healing, those of you that want to be set free. Hallelujah. You have a right to that. Hallelujah. Boy, there was an anointing on healing there. Wasn't there, Cherie? Man, I tell you what, there was a powerful presence of God there. Praise God. Powerful presence of God there. Hallelujah. Now, which one of you are here to confirm salvation or baptism of the Holy Ghost? Anybody here for that? How about healing? Everybody here for healing? Okay. Well, most of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Feel free to step up here. Don't be ashamed. You know, one lady came up, Cherie, in the meeting. I thought it was very funny. She was, I think, 81 or 82 years old. And she had broken her wrist. And it was all numb. No activity in it. Very little. And I says, "Have you been forward for healing for that thing before?" And she said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "Why?" I said, "What about the first time you got prayed for?" She goes, "What?" And I said, "Well, if this is not the first time you've come forward for that, for praying for your wrists, why are you coming forward now if you've already done it before?" Well, she says, "You got an interesting point there." I said, "When you come forward for healing, don't you come forward to get it?"
Well, she said, well, just, what, yeah.
I says, so, do you believe that you have to see Jesus before you get your healing? Do you have to feel it? Do you have to touch it? Or can you just believe it? She says, well, I can believe it. And I says, well, can you believe this? It says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can you believe it? She said, well, yeah, I can. I said, good, I'm going to lay hands on you and let that anointing transfer, and you're going to get healed in that hand. She said, all right. I laid hands on that wrist and that hand, and I started jerking it around, and the power of God hit her, and she went down. But you know how she fell? She fell, and she went to proper fall. Foom. On the wrist and the hand that was unfunctional. And you know what she did? She, her eyes batted and she went, started, stood up. It's funny how we do things a hoping rather than do things a knowing. I'm a knowing when I go forward. I'm a knowing I'm going to get healed. I'd have known it, right? So when I lay hands on you today, you guys are going to be a knowing that you're going to get healed? Amen? You guys going to be a knowing? Borishke. Hallelujah. I perceive you're new to the kingdom of God. Are you new to the kingdom of God? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, when I go by and lay hands on you, you guys are all going to get healed. And here's what the rest of you can do. You can either stay in here and pray with me, or you can go ahead and exit. Go get your kids. Hallelujah. You're free. Praise God. You're free. Hallelujah. You're free to be unleashed on the kingdom of darkness. I better verify that. Those of you up here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go by. And when I lay hands on you, you're going to receive. Amen. You believe that? You can believe you're going to receive. Hallelujah. The only reason I'm here is I can't heal. I can't do a thing about it. All I can do is be a conductor for the simeon of God, the power of God. And He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Well, I'm ready. I'm ready, Freddie. Father, when I lay hands on, it says, by the laying on of hands, we receive healing. Receive.